get the feeling that everything in America is completely f***ed up?
They're saying I should think stuff. Something is wrong with me.
To be so cynical.
Practice.
Welcome to another edition of Positive Cynicism. It's here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, your network for, well, for four shows about different topics. So make sure you're listening to all of them. Kevin Hunsberger's My 123 Cents, Greg Mahochko's Nerds United, and Five Heart Podcast. And after you listen to them, wherever you're listening to them, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, probably not Podbean, possibly Podbean if you're listening to it on the app, be sure to go out and rate those shows because, well, we're trying to spread our audience and gain an audience, and we don't want to do it by being controversial or, you know, going for lowest common denominator type audience attention grabbing methods. We're here to do a positive podcasting network, and so your reviews, your comments to us via social media are important. They help us grow and become better, and so please, I encourage you to let us know what you think of the show. It does help. I have been tweeting at Kevin for months now that he needs to have me on more episodes of his show, and he blocked me on Twitter. That's not true at all. But I'm saying that communication is the key here. We want to know what you think. We want to improve and make these the best shows that we possibly can. So find us on social media. I am on Twitter at ChadSmart. You can go to the jitterymonkey.com page and find everyone else on Twitter and Facebook. So do that. It'll be fun. You'll enjoy it. Conversation with us is great. For the most part, I think. You tell me. Anyway, with that out of the way, this should be a question everything edition of Positive Cynicism. Unfortunately, the past few weeks have not gone as planned, and I not really felt like doing the podcast as... Let me rephrase that. It's not that I didn't want to do the podcast. I just didn't want to put any effort into producing or pre-producing a podcast. So I had reached out to, and I'm going to mispronounce his name, so I'm just going to promote his podcast. It's the One Headlight Podcast. It's all about the 90s. His name's Drew. I believe that's correct. I can't think of the last name. But he has a really good show about stuff that happened in the 90s. So check that out. It's called One Headlight Podcast. Hopefully, maybe next month we'll get him on into to be a question everything participant and we'll get back to normal. But this month, in addition to not wanting to produce a show in advance, I'd also had a interesting experience over the weekend before I record this that I wanted to touch upon for this episode. So that also delayed question everything. Next week, though, another Wonder Why segment. First 2 weeks of the month, the untitled episodes. Everything will be back to normal. But for this week, I'm delving in. You know, if you're a faithful listener of the show or you want to go back and look through the archives, I've done a couple shows about Comic-Con because we do a lot of pop culture referencing on this show. And so Comic-Con is obviously one of the biggest pop culture events of the year. And having friends that go down and having been there myself a few times, it's always something that is an interesting topic to discuss. Well, this past weekend, I got to attend something a little smaller scale, less cosplay. I believe I only saw five people in costume, which was a little disheartening. But I got to attend Politicon 2018. Yes, there is a convention of politics. And the reason I went, when I'd seen this last year on the news, and I was just curious, given our political climate as it is today, this is a convention that has speakers from both sides of the aisle, and I just wanted to go and see what type of civility there was, and also just see what type of people show up in general. I enjoy people watching, and I wanted to see, you know, would it be all MAGA? Is it MAGA or MEGA? MAGA? I don't know. Would it be all Make America Great Again people wearing their hats and shirts? Would it be the anti-Trump resistance force? I didn't know. So I was curious. I of course, wore... Not of course. You're not going to know this about me. But I wore my Tom and Jim's Top 5 shirt because, well, I like to support Tom and Jim. And I figured it was politically safe to wear that no one would accuse me of being on either side of the aisle unless they actually listen to the show and know Tom and Jim's viewpoints. Anyway, I went with the intention of just seeing how it was and checking out a few of the panels. There were people that I wanted to hear speak. And so I'm going to give a brief rundown of what my day consisted of, which panels I sat in on, listened to, and unfortunately, I didn't get to listen to as many panels as I wanted, and a lot of the panels I left before the Q&A from the audience took place because having been to enough film screening Q&As, I hate to say it, but I really don't like listening to people ask questions. It's just a personal thing where some people know how to ask a nice, sophisticated question in a timely manner, and other people just ramble and don't even ask a question, but just make comments. So that said, I did miss out. I read something today about a Q&A that I had missed, which I'll touch on when I get to that panel. But overall, I just kind of bopped in and out of different rooms, listening and observing. And I wish I would have taken notes, but I didn't. So you'll just have to rely on my memory to hopefully say things correctly as I recap them. So let's get into it, okay? Politicon 2018, the first panel of the day, which I didn't even know about. It was not on my radar until I was standing in line waiting to get in, and the host came along and passed around a little flyer for it. It was put on by a group called Conservatively Unplugged, and Judd Dunning present 13 reasons why not to be a liberal. And this had seven people on the panel, including Judd Dunning, Adam Richman, Adam Yinzer, Eric Golub, Evan Syed, I hope I pronounced that correctly, Michael Loftus, and Sonia Schmidt. Of those, I believe I've heard Evan Syed's name, but I couldn't tell you anything about any of the people on the panel. So, going in, all I know is, obviously it's a right-leaning position trying to tell you why not to be a liberal. It's pretty simple right there in the title. And I guess I should say, for those of you that don't know me personally, and have not listened to like the first few episodes of this podcast when it was more political tinged, and I don't advise going back and going and doing so. Production value has gotten a lot better since then. But I do consider myself a moderate. I am a registered libertarian voter, mainly because I registered libertarian in the last election to try and hope to vote for Austin Peterson, but he did not win the libertarian nomination. I was a little upset over that. But I do know that my views also do lean more conservative. I mean, I like to say fiscally conservative, socially liberal. But for sake of argument, and just to be honest, I know I lean more conservative than liberal. So listening to this 13 Reasons Why Not to Be a Liberal, obviously they're preaching to the choir. I don't know. I don't like doing shows by myself. I need someone to bounce off of. And that's the other thing with this podcast. I really wish I could have had someone attend Politicon with me that I could have had a debate, not a debate, but a discussion with. Just so you don't have to listen to me for the next however long. Anyway, 13 reasons why not to be a liberal. The first topic that came up was how every, I think in the introduction, they said, you know, it's a panel of racist, homophobic, transphobic, sexist, yada, 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 all the labels that liberals put onto conservatives. And the two people who stood out with their comments, the first one was Sonia Schmidt, who said that she didn't give a time frame for when this happened because she didn't want to reveal her age. But she said she grew up in the Watts area here in California, which is down by Compton. And she said she remembers growing up, you know, two-parent household, manicured lawns, a nice community atmosphere. And the way, I mean, she, in her words, then the left came in, and now when she goes back to that area that she grew up in, that area of Watts and Compton, she's offended by what she sees because it's not anything like what she grew up. And she blames leftists. I shouldn't say she blames, but she calls out the leftist policies of government for kind of creating that atmosphere. And Evan Sayette mentioned growing up as a Jewish person in New York that he was a liberal growing up because that's what everyone around him was, and that's just what he did, or how you grew up. And it wasn't until 9/11 happened, and he had heard, you know, all growing up about Republicans, conservatives, how they're racist, sexist, whatever. And he said after 9/11, he knew, I'm trying to remember his correct phrasing of this, but he talked about how he knew he couldn't not support, I guess, an attack or war against radical Islam. And so he was looking for answers or looking, you know, for people to talk to, and happened to go to a Republican meeting here in California in the San Fernando Valley. And for the first time, he heard people discussing ideas, and instead of just using buzzwords or just throwing out opinions without backing them up, he actually heard people expressing their opinion and giving reason for this, for their opinion, and it changed his mindset, and he said it a lot more eloquently than I just recapped. But it was an interesting point that he made, and then probably after about 20 minutes of listening to this discussion, I realized I was just agreeing with everything that was being said. So there was no, not that I wasn't enjoying it, but there was no reason to really keep listening because I wanted something to challenge a viewpoint, or I wanted to hear something new that I didn't know already. So I left that panel, and I went down to a panel called What Now Liberals. And this was a, obviously, liberal-leaning panel. The panelists on this one are Shermichael Singleton, who he may have been the one leading the discussion. I didn't catch his name. But there's him, Kyle Kalinske, Marcos Mulitasa. I probably butchered that horrendously, and I'm about to butcher the next one. Nayera Hack, H-A-Q, Sally Cohn, and Zerlina Maxwell. And of these, Sally Cohn is the only one that I've heard of prior to sitting on this talk. And it wasn't but probably 5 to 10 minutes into the discussion when, and I don't remember which panelist it was, but called Donald Trump a racist sexist. And it just identified everything that the previous panel was fighting against and telling, like, this is the blueprint of what liberals do, and then I go and sit in on this liberal panel, and they're doing the exact thing that they said they would be doing. The conservatives said the liberals would be doing. And so that made me kind of chuckle a little bit. But then the most interesting aspect from this one was, I believe it was Marcos said, or the moderator said that in 2020, liberals should not do what the Republicans did in 2016, and that is have 15 candidates vying for president. And Marcos said that he, right now he can name 22 possible nominees, and he thinks they should, because he thinks whoever gets it, the nomination, should have to earn it, which is a bit of a different viewpoint in 2016 the Democrats had. It's a really Yoda phrase sentencing. But he mentioned, the two names he mentioned were Elizabeth Warren and Kamala Harris. This is going to be a whole show of butchering names. I apologize in advance. And then someone in the crowd shouted out Bernie Sanders, which led to a large Bernie chant. And Marco's like, no, he won't even get 10% of the vote. And it was an interesting dynamic because, well, and then another panel said that the 2020 Democratic platform will be Medicare for all and free college for all. Which, between that and the large Bernie support, I question if Democrats are paying attention and listening to what the people are saying, or what the people are wanting, and maybe that's my bias of not agreeing with any of these aspects. So we'll see in 2020 what comes along. Anyway, this panel was, after that part, I had to get some fresh air, because it was more of, from my point of view, a stereotype of what a liberal panel, if you had asked me to write up a liberal discussion, this is exactly what it was. So I left there not only because I needed some fresh air, but it was time for another panel that I wanted to see. And that was a debate style panel hosted by Ben Gleeb, called We the People with Ben Gleeb. If you don't know the name, he is a comedian. He hosted the show Idiot Test on Game Show Network. And he had two people on the Democrat side, two people on the Republican side. The Democrat side was a comedian, Ada Rodriguez, who I don't know, and the leader of the Young Turks, I believe, website. And here's the name butchering for this one. I think it's Cenk Uygur, Cenk Uygur. If you're out there and you know him and you're screaming at your podcast device because I am butchering names, I apologize. And then on the Republican side was Liz Wheeler, who is a blonde news anchor, go figure, and Michael Loftus, who was in the previous 13 Reasons Not to Be a Liberal panel, and apparently is also a comedian that I've never heard of. So, sorry, Michael. And anyway, this one, it started off rough because one of the topics that Ben Gleeb brought up was illegal immigration, and Ada Rodriguez said, took offense to the term illegal alien, and said that, you know, nobody can be illegal. Then she kind of backed down and said, okay, as long as you use the proper term illegal alien, or she wanted the term undocumented citizen. Ben Gleeb kind of said, no, that if you come into this country not through legal purposes, you're an illegal alien. She's like, okay, well, just don't say illegal. Like, say illegal alien. And he's like, oh, okay, fine. And she made some points that I think I'm going to hit on in a future episode. Next month, we're going to be doing a couple of episodes looking at judging things from the past by the standards of today. And because she brought up a point about, you know, when the white men came over and took the country from the Indians. And yes, you can look back in history and you say, white people have done a lot of bad things. The way our country was, you know, was founded was probably not, or, you know, not probably, but yes, we did take over land that did not belong and kicked the Native Americans out, and it's not right. That was also, what, 400 years ago? You know, it's 400 or 500, like, to go back to say it was wrong, because today we can look at it and say it's wrong. I have a personal problem with that mentality. And I don't know what you can do to rectify the situation of how a country was formed. But I think we need to focus on issues of the present, not fighting wars of the past. So listen to this debate for a little bit, and Liz Wheeler did not come off too good for herself, I would say. She made, you know, at one point they were talking about illegal immigration and the people from Honduras that are on their way, and she kind of just made a comment like, well, you know, if you want something better, just go out and make more money. And it was like, well, how, that's a lot easier said than done. And she got called out for it, and she got booed by the audience, and I have to agree that it's kind of a stupid statement to make. But overall, decent panel. I don't really have much more on there. Then from there, I just kind of walked around the floor of the convention a little bit. And I have to say, I was a little disappointed in the booths that they had set up. I was expecting a lot more like political satire-y t-shirts and merchandise. And there was one table that had some liberal t-shirts. They had a Maxine Don't Test the Waters t-shirt, and I believe an Elizabeth Warren t-shirt. But really, the only other kind of merchandise was some guy, it was called Vice Presidents with Octopus. And all he had was a book of collection of drawings and single prints of vice presidents with an octopus on their head. Why? Not really sure. I asked him how he came up with the inspiration, and he just said it came to him one night. I said, okay, and kept walking. But from there, there really wasn't there wasn't a lot of booths that I stopped at to discuss things with. There were a couple people that had games that they had built. One was called Filibuster, which sounded really kind of complicated to play. And then some guys that I had met in line later have a game called Victimology, which is kind of like a political-minded Cards Against Humanities type game, where you see who can be the biggest victim. But yeah, overall, the floor of the convention was a little lackluster. And at this time, I also got, there was a bookstore set up, and I ended up, they were doing book signings all, like every hour, and one of the signees was going to be Ben Shapiro. So I was like, okay, I've listened to Ben's show a couple times. I generally like the show. I don't care for his impressions on every show, and there are some times where I think he does go off the deep end a little bit. But I'm like, hey, I'm here. I was curious in his book. Unfortunately, when I went to buy the book, the one that I wanted was sold out. So I ended up buying a couple other books. I did buy one of his. I ended up with The People versus Barack Obama, The Criminal Case Against the Obama Administration, which I'm sure is going to be a page-turner. And did get him to sign that. He was very friendly and nice for the 10 seconds that I spoke to him. And then the other books I bought one by Marcos Militas, who, if you haven't fallen asleep by now, you remember was from the liberal panel earlier, and it's a book called 45 Ways to Fight Trump. So, again, I'm curious to read that one to see what the plan is. And then a book called We Need to Talk by Celeste Headlee. It's called How to Have Conversations That Matter, and that's a topic that I'll get into a little bit later on, but yeah, so three books. We'll see how they pan out. If anybody is interested in a review, let me know. I will tell you afterwards. But anyway, after meeting Ben Shapiro, then it was time for one of the panels that I was most interested in, and that was the Time Is Now, hashtag Time's Up and Beyond. It was a panel moderated by Christine Pelosi, featuring Alyssa Milano, Amy Holmes, Grace Parra, Jess McIntosh, and Kaya Jones. Of these people, I know Alyssa Milano. I do see a lot of her tweets and was curious to know how she would come off in this type of setting. So, and I'm also interested in the Time's Up movement, what they, you know, where they are going, what the plan is for the future. And overall, this was a solid panel. Alyssa Milano did not speak as much as I kind of hoped. But one thing that did strike me, and had I stayed and listened to the Q&A, and maybe if I cared enough to ask a question, is while giving their Me Too stories, this is hashtag Time's Up, but it's actually kind of it was a Me Too panel. But when they were giving their Me Too stories, several of the people didn't mention names. And one of them said, I don't want to mention him because even though he's dead, he still has a lot of friends in the industry, and it's still like giving them power. But to me, that I think that's one of the biggest fails of the Me Too movement at the moment. And, you know, I thought after Harvey Weinstein and Kevin Spacey were outed, I hoped that this would be the turning point for the entertainment industry itself, and other industries as well, hopefully, but definitely in the entertainment industry. You know, and I have worked in this industry in Los Angeles for the last 11 years. I am in no way connected to any high-profile people in the industry. However, I have heard several stories myself. And I have witnessed one incident where I am pretty sure a straight actor was kind of coerced into doing something with a producer. I don't know if it ever led to any roles or anything, because I can't remember the actor's name or the producer's name. But I had kind of hoped that, you know, I thought after Harvey Weinstein that, and with the growing popularity of Me Too, that more people would be, taken down is the proper term to say. But it seems like people are still scared, or maybe not scared, but won't come forward for the same fear of destroying their own career if they say anything. And so I hope that's not the case. And if it is, I think that's something that needs to be addressed and try to figure out how to work on. And so that we can purge all these people who are abusing power, who are basically just scum, and take them out of power. But overall, the Time Is Now panel was informative. I think it was very handled very well, and the main message was basically for women to stand up with each other and have each other's back instead of being catty or competitive. Just, you know, be there for each other. Now, I did read today, like I mentioned earlier, after I left during the Q&A. One woman got up and asked Alyssa Milano to denounce Linda Cesar, who is the Women's March promoter who supports Sharia law, and Alyssa Milano wouldn't do it and said she didn't think Linda Cesar encouraged that, and then apparently security escorted the lady who asked the question out of the room. I'm sure there's more to it than that. I would hope that security didn't just remove someone for asking a question. But I do think it is. It's a little telling on the left who is allowed to say things. Going back to the Ben Glee panel, the comedian, let me look up her name. I can't remember it at the moment. But she, Ada Rodriguez, she had made a comment when in the discussion of illegal immigration that if we got rid of all the illegal immigrants, who's going to wash, who's going to mow the yards or sell the fruit? And I think this is a comment that had it come from the Republican or conservative side of the panel would have been deemed racist. But when it comes from a liberal side, because I believe Nancy Pelosi has also made the same statement, possibly Dianne Feinstein, it's okay. It's, and I think that's very telling of, you know, someone's point of view of who they think the illegal immigrants or undocumented workers are in this country and what they offer. So, yeah, it's interesting, and this is where I say question everything and to look at who's saying what and what is being allowed and what isn't. Anyway, from the Me Too movement panel, when they started going to the audience, I went next door because Tommy Lahren was speaking, and I was curious to hear Tommy. You know, she has been on my radar for probably the last year, and while I agree with a lot of points that she says, I don't like her presentation. I think her kind of yelling and lecturing style diminishes what she's actually saying, because even if I agree with you, that approach doesn't work on me. So I was curious to see how she would be in this panel type situation. And I didn't realize there was a guy sitting across from her kind of moderating. And it wasn't until he spoke that I realized it was Clay Aiken. And I know Clay had ran for government office. I want to say South Carolina, probably wrong. But he was moderating. And it was this turned out to probably be my favorite panel of the day, because it was just a simple conversation. It was, you know, Clay and Tommy did not agree on every point. And I saw some things on Twitter where people were saying they wish Clay would have pushed her more to express her opinion or wouldn't let her off easily. But from what I saw, what I listened to, I didn't think he did. There was a couple points where he was like, no, I'm not going to let you get away with that answer. Give me more. Tell me more. And then it was also fun whenever the crowd would start getting riled up or rambunctious. Clay would, you know, threaten to kick them out and say he wasn't scared of them. Or it was just amusing the way that he handled the crowd. I thought he did a really good job. And I walked out of there, you know, a fan of Clay Aiken, the person, I would say. And it's kind of funny when they were talking, they brought up white privilege. Because Clay was like, yeah, even though, you know, I'm a gay white male, I still have white privilege. And then he made some comment about losing American Idol to a black man and should be offended by that. But the way, and again, all this is much better. Find the video. It's much better than the way I present it. But this panel, like I said, it was very well done. And hopefully people were listening. Because at one point, Clay even said, how many of you know who Tommy is and like what she has to say, and that's why you're here? And about half the crowd raised their hand, and he's like, okay, how many know who Tommy is and don't like what she has to say? And the other half raised their hands. Like, how many of you are willing to listen to her and possibly change your mind? And about 10 people kept their hands up, and he's like, you're lying. And I think that's where, going back to the book We Need to Talk, this panel was a perfect example of everything that I've been kind of saying for the last 2 years when it comes to politics, is we need to learn to talk to each other and not fight, not argue, not say my opinion is right, yours is wrong, but listen to each other and be willing to hear what the other one is saying. And if you find that you can find common ground and work with someone, then great. And if you can't, at least you can acknowledge your differences and hopefully still be friends. And that, I think they made the point several times throughout their conversation, but they said, you know, don't live in a bubble. Get out of, make friends with people who don't agree with you, who don't share your same values or beliefs, because that pushes you to be a more well-rounded person and to actually know why you believe or feel the way that you do. So that was a great takeaway from that panel. And then from there, the last panel of the day was actually after, last panel of the day was called Fight for Your Rights. And this was the one featuring Austin Peterson, who I wanted to hear. And it also, it was moderated by Guy Benson from Fox News and featured Cliff Maloney, Dan Bongino. I hope he doesn't hear this because he may come after me. The Roaming Millennial and Tommy Lahren again. And this one was kind of like the way I started the day. End of the day with a complete kind of preaching to the choir type panel, where these are all libertarian or conservative talkers talking about, you know, fighting for your rights and knowing, just being aware of, I guess, what's going on. But the highlight was Dan, whose name I'm not going to butcher again, but he was in a panel before this where I heard people talking in line about it. And when they introduce themselves, they're like, say something, you know, say a little small fact about yourself. And he's like, my name's Dan. I'm the first panelist in Politicon history to have a moderator tell me or tell him, shut the fuck up. And I don't know what he was saying. I don't know the content. I don't know what panel they were on. But apparently he aggravated the panel, the host, enough to elicit such a comment. But he went off at one point and talking about not, because they were, let me rephrase this. They were talking about the way the left right now is getting very, well, for lack of a better term, mob oriented, and all the attacks that are happening with people like Mitch McConnell being out and being ran out of, or being accosted, yelled at a restaurant. Ted Cruz was similarly yelled at, and he said, you know, Nancy Pelosi also had the same type of interaction with people or harassment, and he said, you know, this is not okay. You cannot, doesn't matter which side, you do not treat people that way. But if you're going to get into a debate or discussion, then gloves off, make sure you destroy your opponent in a talking sense, not physical sense. And yeah, it was just a really good panel. But again, preaching to the choir. So yeah, I really don't know how to wrap that up. I believe if you go to the Politicon website or YouTube, you can probably find video of all of these panels. And there are a lot more. Again, I wish I could have seen more. Unfortunately, a lot of stuff that I wanted to see was at the same time. There was a one panel called The Russian Menace. Henry Winkler interviews Malcolm Nance. I don't know who Malcolm Nance is. I do know who Henry Winkler is, and I would have liked to have seen that. And there's a panel about Space Force, and James Carville interviewed Tucker Carlson. So overall, Politicon was an interesting experience. Like I said, I did not see any type of hostility towards from one person to another. Everyone seemed friendly enough. I one takeaway I did notice that there were a lot more minorities wearing the MAGA gear than white people. So I don't know what to take away from that, but I personally just found that interesting. But overall, I'm just going to repeat myself what I said earlier. You know, I don't care what your political viewpoint is. I don't care. Really, the only thing I care about, do you like my show? Did you rate it 5 stars over on your podcasting device? Because that's what I care about. Are you a good person? That's my main concern. But whether, you know, which side of the political spectrum you're on, if you dislike 80s movies and music, that might be negotiable if I like you or not. But no, there are so many other things that unite us than divide us. Don't listen to the media. I think we are a lot closer than the media would have you believe. And if you dislike something, if you dislike a person, if you dislike a policy, if you dislike anything, know why you dislike it. Be able to back up that opinion and with something of concrete substance, not just, oh, I don't like him, you know, as they said in one of the panels, I don't like Trump because he's mean. Yeah, that's Trump. That's what you get. And I don't like Trump as a person. I think he's a garbage human. But I enjoy the entertainment value of Trump. I said it. But you can find so many points to connect with someone if you're willing to listen. And that's all I can ask of you. That's all I ask of anyone is be willing to listen. Have a conversation that don't go into a conversation already hating another person or having a negative viewpoint. Just go in, talk to someone, get to know them. If you find out that you don't like them as a person, that's fine. Move on to someone else. But don't harass. Don't go on social media and criticize. Just move on. It's very simple. So that's what I'm going to leave you with on this episode of Positive Cynicism. Again, starting next week, we're back to Wonder Why. I'll have co-hosts back on. I hope you're still awake after listening to this and you weren't operating heavy machinery. But as always, I cannot stress enough, question everything, do something positive.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.